Anyways, we were taking my photos, and where his, I'm losing my words today because I'm tired. Where his little section was, his gate started right where Red Barn was. Mm-hmm. And so we were taking photos on the Red Barn because, you know, senior photo, Red Barns. Anyways, we were doing these photos.
Is that it? Maybe that's where Clyde, I missed
it. And Clyde waltzes up to his freaking gate. And he's just standing in the background. And so
Did somebody forget to eat dinner?
These senior photos with Clyde the camel in the background. But then as we're also taking these, he's like yelling at us.
That's probably the best senior photos ever.
Because whenever I try it, it just sounds like a cow. Yeah, but anyway, he was doing it right. So like I'm like posing. I'm just like, Clyde, shut up. We're working.
Hi, here's Peter Savick. I'm a member of The Mix, and we are listening to Comic Pop Library.
You let her die!
Admiral, I don't think I'm a good choice.
When you step into your command, it will be the right decision.
The captain's dead.
Everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Comic Popcorn Fan Movies. I'm Richard, along with
April
and Lenny
Jonathan.
And in these episodes, we're going to be looking at fan-made films that are being put out there by fans of different franchises, whether it be Star Wars, Dungeons and Dragons. Most of it's going to be sci-fi, fantasy, of course, for the most part. That's where most of the people have the desire to do films for. But you never know, we might find some adventure ones out there somewhere as well. But in this particular one, we're going to be doing a Star Trek fan film. It's kind of like a TV series episode, really, more than a fan film. But they are still lumped together in that same category. And it is Starship Valiant Legacy is the first episode. And the description for it is, Starship Valiant is a Star Trek fan film produced by Starbase Studios in Oklahoma City. And Michael L. King, Scott Johnson, and Richard Wells are the main driving force behind it. And it's basically set in the time frame of the classic Star Trek universe. So you have the traditional classic Constellation class bridge, and that's what's down there at Starbase Studios, and that's what it's filmed around. But they don't just get captured on that bridge, they actually go out and do some other shots as well. But this is one where it starts out where the lead character is Commander Jackson Killam Bishop, played by Michael L. King, and he's a commander of the Starship Valiant, and the captain in a battle is killed, and he has to assume command and get his crew back home. And he loses, I can't remember how many is said in the fan film, I think around 100, 120 some to 200.
I think that's 120 sounds right. Somewhere in there. Lots of people died. It might have been 206.
But it wasn't,
because the complement's only around 400 and some at that time on a Constitution class.
Yeah, but it wasn't all of them that
died. It wasn't all of them.
Well, that's a huge difference.
True. Almost half. He lost almost half the crew. But he did bring the ship home and the rest of the crew. And during the interim, he's recovering, and then he gets a call back to come back and actually be the captain of the Valiant. And this episode is a primer for the rest of the series, so it's trying to set up the characters. The first opening scene, it puts you right into the action.
So like, yeah, okay, the bridge is exploding. There are spaceships trying to destroy the Valiant. They end up destroying the enemy fleet, and then they kind of limp home.
Well, they don't really show them destroying the fleet. They just
raced away. In the very end of that, he was asking the engineers for the impulse power to get out of there.
It was more like a flashback.
And then they have photon torpedoes or lasers coming at him, and then it just cuts and he wakes up in bed.
Yeah, at first you think they're all dead, and that was a really short fan film. Yeah. And then he wakes up and you're like, oh god, they made it. So, because, you really don't
know.
You've
got all of his Earth drama, and apparently his dad, his dad
sick on Earth.
Was sick, and he, of course, couldn't be there because he was in space, and his dad passed away.
It's hard to get the Romulans to let you go to a funeral.
Who looks like she's like maybe 14?
Maybe 14, maybe 15. She's a little bit... And maybe even 16, but she's a teenager.
She, like, is so angry with him that he wasn't there for Grandpa and for her and everything. When he was sick, I'm like, he was in space, girl.
And, you know, it's weird because really successful people, like, I mean, I know it's not real, but if the Federation was real and they took over for these terrible people that are running this planet right now and they created something better than NASA and it was just better and they got into space better and they did that, if you were the captain of a starship, even if it was just a Constellation class, like, you were basically like Joe Montana and like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Leonardo DiCaprio rolled into it. Like, you had, like, even though it was fake, William Shatner was still like pimper than anyone else in history just because he was the first captain of a starship. I mean, it's a big deal. It's like the equivalent of like the president of the United States almost, because you got to remember you're on a ship that's representing a planet. And by the time I really know much about it, the next generation, it was a whole system of planets.
Right.
I guess in the beginning, it was really just the Earth.
It was a group of planets, a smaller group, but Earth was brought into it from the Vulcans very early on.
Either way, I hate his daughter.
Always a female.
She does a very good angry daughter, angry teenager.
I got mad.
She is mad at him for trivial reasons. Like, I mean, ultimately, it's supposed to be very important. Like,
he's upset.
He's like, very sad. You know, he missed his father's
going through
funeral,
depression.
Yep,
and she's depressed. Here yelling at him about how he wasn't there. Yeah, you're right. I should have just quit my job. She's like, you should have quit. I'll just quit my job and have them beam me back to Earth.
I should have jumped on that little escape pod while everybody else was dying and let the rest of the crew die that I saved and just pooped my butt back home.
Like, he barely came home. Like, I think that his daughter could have been a little bit since. She was terrible to him. I felt really bad for him.
I did too. And I mean,
but I can also understand that because the kids, they don't understand. Maybe if she was like 14 or 13, a little bit younger, right. And they don't understand and they're angry and they just want you there. Well, they've had trauma too, and they just want you home for that.
Right. And there was a small snippet that at some point the mother had passed away too. And I'm not sure if she had
previously
passed away.
Before the father.
They didn't go into a whole lot of that. So he was a single
parent.
The grandfather, I guess, was kind of taking over the parent role while he was off.
Well, she acted like she took care of him more and she was pretty much running the show by herself.
Yeah.
And that was probably overdramatic. I'm sure she wasn't. I'm sure he had caretakers for her. I mean, it's the Federation, so they're not...
Either way, I don't like her.
They're not the Dothraki horde. They take care of their kids.
Then he gets in. I don't know. I'm confused on how much... And then he gets called in for his next assignment, basically. Yep. You know, this is... Here you go. And here's the exact same ship.
With upgrades.
I'll be honest.
There are some ghosts, but, you know, they're just in the machine. It's fine.
I don't know how much time he had from that first incident to on Earth and going into the next mission.
That's like a big Star Trek thing, like pushing the captains and the crew into situations where... It's because I guess these are the
you
best
only have cadets. We're going to send you out and face this terrible thing.
these are like the best of the best or whatever, you know. So they're the top aviators in the world or universe. So like, we need you back, you specifically back for this same ghost crew. You know, the ghost captain will be standing next to you, like you'll be sitting on him in the captain's chair. But you'd think it'd be terrible. Like, he'd be like, can I get Starship Calliope instead? I mean, Barney, anything but the Constellation.
Yeah, because they're like, you know what?
Or the, wait,
we,
no, the
we
Valiant.
Know, we know this is going to be hard for you no matter what. So let's make it harder.
They kind of tell him like that too. They're like,
she's like,
I know this is going to be crap, but you're going back out there, you know, in this same ship.
And she kind of blackmailed him.
we'll have to give props. We're talking about the Abigail Bishop character. I want to mention her name. That is played by Denico Willington Guy. I hope I pronounced that right for you. So that's the young lady that played her, or it might be an older lady that just happens to look younger.
And she kind of
plays the daughter. Yeah, yeah, we're saying that the character seemed 14, not the actress.
True.
Yeah.
And then some of the quirks with these type of fan films is because of copyright issues, they have to put them out there for free. But you also notice subtle differences and patches, and I don't know if that was supposed to be something that different ships had different type patches, but if you notice, their patch was different from the Enterprise patch.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's intentional in the Star Trek universe or that's something they do because of copyright issues. I'm not sure.
I'm going to pretend it's intentional because that sounds kind of
cool. I'm going to pretend they did it on purpose and they're like, no, this is the Valiant's
patch.
It's
like factions.
Well, that's the way we do it. And so, you know, in a natural order thing, like every different unit has their own special patch.
Unit patch, but... True. So the ship might have. I don't know about Navy. I'm not sure how they.
I don't really know how the Navy. I know more about the Army. So.
I don't know. I just.
And less than you.
And then at the end, they have some lady.
Lieutenant Commander Lindsay S. Kennedy, played by Kelly Westkill.
She was a survivor, too.
Right.
She quits, right? She's quitting?
No.
No, this is the other one.
She's the very last one.
Oh, okay.
The engineer?
Yeah, okay, okay.
She
in the red mini skirt?
Yeah, the friendly one. Friendly.
Needs a new. I'm sorry, but you need a new hairstyle.
Yeah, this is the future, not the past.
I know it's time frame being made. You're trying to emulate that, but oh my gosh. Get a new hairstyle. That one is not.
So you think that they were trying to do the 70s style?
Yeah.
Well, they 60s. Worked. It worked. Oh, yeah, or 60s. Yeah, it definitely worked. And that's one thing I really liked about this. They didn't go for, you know, we're just going to go for a 2015. This is our version.
True.
They're like, they wanted to show some respect for the classic. And since that was that era.
But they could have chose a different hairstyle from that era.
There were really normal hairstyles in that era. There were a lot of ladies with really straight hair and just no bangs.
But
and it was
no,
totally
anyways,
normal.
Anyways, that was not the point I was
going to make.
I'm sorry. What I was going to make out was. Because she, you know, she basically told the captain or main guy, you know, like, suck it up again. But then afterwards, he made her his second in command.
Yep.
And then he leaves the bridge, and then she sits in his seat all smug, like, I'm going to kill him so I can be captain.
Flip minute.
And so now I don't like her either.
Go for a job. Then.
For a minute there, I thought you were talking about that lady. You know, she was telling everybody, you need to get a new hairstyle.
And then
I caught on. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of a rude lady telling everybody that they need a new hairstyle.
She would tell somebody that, too. That's her type of personality.
I don't know.
I'm lost on the new hairstyle thing. I don't know where we're going with that.
It was kind of funny, like April was talking about, she sits in that captain's chair all smug.
I remember that, and I remember her hairstyle.
She comes in, and the commander, who's now the captain, Bishop, is still kind of, you know, he's getting used to it. There's a lot of, like you said, Lenny, a lot of ghosts
and everything.
His captain was
his
best friend. Yeah, he hasn't even sat in the chair.
The seat is still.
And she comes in, and what's she bitching about? The engineering is not at the snuff, and this new.
And
who's the engineer? Let me find. That is.
She was an engineer first, right? That's where she came from.
Vance Majors plays him. I've become friends with him, but what's the character's name?
I'll be like, there it is. Lieutenant Commander. Down there and do it the way you want.
Lieutenant Commander Eric Menard is who Vance Major plays, but once he goes, oh, and you're going to become my second,
she changes her attitude. She's just like,
okay. Whoa. And then she snaps on that, or sits down in the chair, snaps at her, come, you have less time than needed to be
but
to
she,
get ready, by golly.
But she does that when he's gone.
Yeah, when he's gone.
You
she didn't
know that.
And that's one thing about it, like, she didn't really have that authority. If he was standing there, she
Either
couldn't
way,
really do that.
I don't like
it. Well, she couldn't sit in his chair. Not if he's there.
No, it has to be off the bridge.
I don't like that. I don't like that she can sit in that chair if he's off the bridge.
That's a Navy thing, too.
I'm not, and I'm not a humongous Trekkie. So, you know, I didn't.
No?
No.
We watch him, but we're not big.
I'm more Star Wars. But I still like Star Trek. I like both.
She didn't say this out loud.
But
this isn't happening.
But I just don't understand that. I think don't know. Maybe I'm just really possessive. If this is my chair, it's my chair, and you get off it whether or not I'm there.
You're assuming, yeah, Sheldon. You know, you're assuming if you lived in the Federation age,
I'd just be like,
you
out.
Would be the captain. That's what I like about you. You assume that's going to be my chair. Get out of it, bitch.
That's my
and
spot.
Then, like, and like everyone else, like in like reality, you know, you're probably like one of the ensigns down, like probably. Working in the kitchens, like, oh, I really wish I was near that captain's chair. But I'm not.
But
you know,
see, even if I was down there, I'd have like a stool.
Yeah, and that would, look, this That's is the captain of the spot. Dishwasher's chair, and you will not take the captain of the dishwasher's seat unless I'm off the bridge of dishes.
No, not even. I mean, I don't know.
Not even then. Not even then.
To me, it's just if you. I don't know. It's like she's...
Do not sit in April's chair is what we're trying to say.
But like...
Lenny's learned that.
When you're gone, I'm going to sit in that chair, just so you know. It's way more comfortable than
it
these.
It is comfortable.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't noticed.
So I sit there.
April is claiming it. She's wiggling her butt.
But no, so... Because like, so her second in command, I don't know where the hell they sit on the in the bridge. I'm not a truck driver.
Whatever station they're assigned to.
But yeah, so I think if that's where you sit... That's where it stays, you know, even when, like, and when you're in command, why can't you be walking around the bridge?
You
why
can.
You gotta be sat there
no, you don't
somebody
have to.
Else's
you can
chair
walk around.
Playing make-believe? You ain't captain.
I think it's a lot like the...
It's a transfer captaincy,
you know, in
actually,
the Game of Thrones so where... I forget which character it is. I think it's Baelish or whatever. But in that story, they have this big throne, you know. And as soon as the king wanders off, then the sinister kind of side advisor guy sits down
and he's like, hey.
Tests his butt in the throne. Like he has no business in that seat. But yeah, that's. I think it's just kind of. It's kind of going back. It's like it's the throne of the ship. So
yeah,
that's
it
where.
Is.
And obviously, that could be a part of their plot. Like she is going for a power
I think
play.
So.
Yeah. True. And let's talk about production a little bit. For a fan-made film, this wasn't...
That's pretty
I mean,
good.
We've been to studios, April and I. Lenny and Jonathan is going to go with us again here shortly. Once they put in the lighting and everything, it is an immaculate set. It looks like the real thing. The special effects, the flames, did it look like stuff was on fire?
No, I mean, I think that they,
no?
They did. It looked fictitious, Richard, but no, I think that they did a great job of emulating the effects from that era. Like they didn't try to use computer effects, and they did it with more.
The only thing they did use computer effects was the
outside the spacing.
With the ships,
yeah, of course,
yeah.
But they've always done that. So,
well
except
no,
for when they were holding the
60s.
No, they were holding them on strings.
And they just shot it at. They shot it at midnight facing up to have the natural background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have a nice set.
I did think that it was done well.
They did not stay in just the bridge section. They had quarters. They had screens with people
Didn't
behind
they have
them.
The engineering? Or was it
not
the sick bay?
One.
No, they had the
sick
bay. The engineer was in the sick bay with the doctor.
And if you go into the actual spot, sick bay is actually not that big of a... section. So I think it's really cool that because I've seen it where I've seen the set, but I've also seen just the normal warehouse garage stuff, you know, all around it. And so I think it's so cool that you can just focus on that one thing and that you would never think at all that right.
I'm pretty excited because
right
I've never actually been on a set.
Normal, cool. You know, it's pretty nice.
I mean, you know, I've been on a stage where they were producing a play. But not an actual set, like a studio set, like what they have there and like what they would have in California for a movie or something.
That's cool.
It is cool. Yeah, it does sound very exciting. I thought that the acting was done well. I really liked the main actor. I mean, there was a lot. It was mainly a introductory piece.
Right,
there was a lot of talking, a lot of introducing of characters, and a lot of speaking between the characters.
Yeah, the biggest struggle would just be the time between episodes, and which is understandable.
Right.
It's going to take a while just because.
Yeah, because of your budget.
Right.
But
this one
is tough whenever you got to do it yourself.
You know,
yeah.
But
I believe this one actually came out in 2013 and they've been working on a budget and they have been working on the next episode as well. But that is, like April said, one of the hard parts for the fan films is the budget. The studios is free, but they, you know, ask for donations to help upkeep and maintenance and rent and stuff like that to help out.
And that's the thing about it. They can't. It's like being in the Olympics, kind of. You know, you're like a professional amateur. You cannot make money.
The actors don't get money.
And that is just so... You know, I read a fan fiction novel once, and I was just like, if anyone deserved to get paid for something that they didn't...
What did you read?
No, it was really good. It was called James Potter. It was Harry Potter's son. And it actually got accolades from the lady that wrote Harry Potter. So, but it was really good. But then it says right there on it, you know, you can have this for free. You can duplicate it. It's free. We can't... Because they can't. You know, they can't charge you any money, and they can't make any dime off of it.
Is anybody else weirded out that the main character or the main actor's name is Michael King?
I already mentioned that several times. Except for the people that are listening to this may not listen to the one we did just before this, so they won't know that we just did an interview about, or not an interview, but a show about a movie called Michael King. Yeah,
true.
No, I think it's funny on fan fictions when, because I read a lot more than you do, probably.
I don't know.
Probably. Thanks. I don't know.
I think. That's one of my, that's my signature. Thanks.
I think. I don't know. Either way, I read
you read more than me, okay? You read more than me, okay?
That's why I was like, what type of fan fiction? Because you're strange.
Thank you. Again, like, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
But he's in here with all his other strange people, so he fits right in.
The funniest thing to me is when you get... I'm not going to call them authors. They're not. When you get people that write the stories on there and they they slap on that copyright and then they put the year and then they just assume now it's official.
Yeah, with fan fiction, you can't legally do that.
No, it's not. And they're like, please do not spread this work. Please do not.
Really? Because that's the opposite. Like, that's the opposite of what
I know.
I don't know what fan fiction you're reading is the problem.
About all of
them. Yeah, you're reading the dirty line. The thing is that what I read one fan fiction book that was highly recommended by several sites. Like, I was looking for a good Harry Potter ripoff. And, you know, and then they were like, the very best is this James Potter series. And they've actually made several shows. We could actually watch them. They're done all by British actors. I don't know if they're in England, but they're definitely not Americans.
They're British.
they have an English accent, so it could be anywhere in the world except for here.
The British can drop their accents and play Americans.
Yeah. I mean, these kids could be right down the street and just be like, oh, Charlie, oh, give me a Cheerio and a cup of tea.
Fingers in the air.
Yeah.
That's rude.
But, so I don't know. Yeah, why did we get... Oh, yeah, because we were talking about quality of fan fiction. Yeah. Well, so...
One of this...
I have seen some other fan fiction videos.
Films.
Let me tell you, this was definitely on the top shelf of that crew, because there's a lot of them that they just... It's a few guys that got drunk one night, and they're like, all right... I'm Conan, and you're gonna be, you know, it's like...
But I do like watching spoof stuff sometimes, where they don't try for the production value, they actually try to...
Try for the funny?
The exact opposite, so like, they will intentionally make it like the crappiest costumes, you know, like, it is so funny. That's guilty. It's guilty pleasure, you know?
Well, one of the things with this... you can donate to the Starbase Studios, but also Starship Valiant has a GoFundMe account. If you want to, you can go to GoFundMe, sign up. It's a free sign up. Search for Starship Valiant, and you can donate to them to help them out with their episodes. One of the other things that is kind of neat about the Star Trek fan films is they are loosely tied together. And I'm not sure how much tied together they are, but I think sometimes they swap actors. And in the first part of this, they had an NSYNC going to the Starship Ajax,
which is another
fan film for Star Trek, is Starship Ajax. So they do kind of intermingle with themselves, which kind of makes it neater, because it makes that universe feel that much more broader. So that's kind of a neat concept. That I don't know if that's specific just for the Star Trek fan films, or if other fan film genres try to do that as well. I'm not sure, but that's kind of neat that they try to do that, because there are some sets in New York, I believe, is one. I think back there this summer, I think Scott from Oklahoma City went there to help him work on a, like you were mentioning, a complete engineering section,
mm-hmm.
to have that as a set. So, I mean, they're dedicated.
It's such an important part of the show. Like, in the old show and in the Next Generation, they were on the bridge. In the Next Generation, they were in the part where they beamed around and in the lounges a lot. But in the original, they would be on the bridge, they'd be in sick bay, or they'd be in the engineering. Or off the ship.
True.
Or some of the ladies be in the captain's quarters, you know. But that's that was just strictly Kirk. That was not normal. They were supposed to not interfere with the alien species.
You know what? I'll be honest.
He didn't get that knot.
That at the end of this one, they have you have two. He talks to two ladies individually. He talks to the one. They were both survivors. One of them is actually leaving. She's
yeah,
not
that's
returning.
The one I was thinking.
But then there's a second in command.
Right.
But so you got, and I thought for a second that that was going to be his new love interest, was going to be that first lady.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
That'd work
because
out.
She was nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I hook really easily.
Some of these, I wasn't trying to say that. Some of the actors in this one are a little, I mean, their parts is just a little angry. There's a lot of melodrama in this particular episode. So that's cool to see, too. I'd like to see where that's going to go. I always thought about that, because if you're on a spaceship with hundreds of people and you're out there for years, you know, like, it isn't going to be the big, exciting 4-second star battles that, like, you know, they're literally right. 4 seconds long, you know, and that was 14 years in the making, getting to that planet to destroy it for 2 seconds. But it's the day-to-day things between their personal lives. And as a kid growing up watching The Next Generation, that was the stuff that I was really drawn to. The doctor right. and her son and the lovers, the William Riker and the, what was her name? Deanna Troi. Yeah. Yep. See, I really know The Next Generation stuff. Like, I'm on top of that stuff.
Well, they don't care.
But yeah. These people are
classic.
And I do get it that you know, when if you already enjoyed the show and then the next one came out and it wasn't
it's
the same.
Never the same.
Yeah, I can understand why some people would just be like, "No, let's just go back and do the original stuff."
I'm sure they've done fan films within the Next Generation era, but I'm
sure
not sure how they would do this.
Aren't there like 8 actual shows? Like 8 actual separate entities of Star Trek that have ran. Like, right. Isn't it almost as many as Doctor Who?
Enterprise, Star Trek,
Deep
Next
Space
Generation,
Nine.
Deep Space Nine, Voyager, 5.
There's got to be more than that.
And then the movies.
So it seems like more. Right.
And you have the new...
You got Voyager, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the one with Scott Bakula?
That was Enterprise.
Oh, that was Enterprise.
That sounds like a ripoff of Count Dracula.
When I was coming up too, there was a show called Quantum Leap. Do you remember that?
Yep.
That's something I could see them remaking.
True.
Bakula.
Say the first name with it.
It kind of reminds me of this messed up show. I can't remember what it was. Some spoof movie. And he was Count Blackula. And he had this like aerobic fro and, you know.
That might be one to look for your cult shows. Because it is a cult one. I remember that
What's
one.
What's that one?
You know what I want to do is the Tomatoes from Outer Space.
We watched this movie.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Watched this movie. I can't remember exactly what it's called, so don't kill me. But
Kentucky
it was like
Fried Chicken.
It was like the Monster Bong or something. Remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. We got it somewhere.
Yeah. It's a real dumb movie about this bong. That is like a monster, basically. It's a monster bong.
Let me just clarify. Richard and April do not have the monster bong somewhere. They just have the movie.
Yes.
They didn't make this
movie. I can't remember
movie.
What it's called.
It was amazing. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite movies.
I said Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah.
But no, and Mom liked that movie, and that was what was weird. Yeah.
She likes the weird stuff, doesn't she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We can watch Spaceballs.
But this is one with fan films. Look it up on YouTube.
It's good.
Type in Starship Valiant. You'll find...
I was dreading. Shut up.
He's in a hurry.
Evidently, April wants to talk.
I'm trying to strengthen their case. Jeez.
What case?
Really close to the file cabinet. So I was dreading watching it because
she is a true hater.
I wasn't completely against it, but I was just like, time to get on Facebook for about 20 so whatever minute.
I noticed your phone was out.
Yeah, but it got put up. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. You know,
that's because it has that character-driven drama. You know, space battles only take you so far.
Yep.
You need there to be a conflict between the humans.
All right, Dad.
You can do it. Get rid of us. Knock us out. He is kicking us out of the building. Good night, folks. Yeah. We're done.
No. If you're interested in watching the first episode, Starship Valiant Legacy, go to YouTube. Starship Valiant. It's free. You can watch it there. Excuse me. I'm not sure when the second episode is going to be coming out. I know they are working on it right now, but there's no dates yet. One of the things we are going to be talking to, and hopefully we'll get a possible timeline for it, we are going to be going back down to Oklahoma City to Starbase Studios. Vance Majors, who plays the engineer on Starship Valiant, as, who did I say, Lieutenant Commander Eric Menard, he's putting on what he's calling a Promenadicon. And that's what it's being called, and it's a free day down in Oklahoma City to go see the studios. And if you're willing to help support them with a little donation, and if you're able to be there on, well, this will be aired probably way before it's up. I'll try to get it up. It's October 17th, so it's this coming Saturday. I'm going to try to edit this up as fast as I can and get it up there for the guys. And
so if you missed this because...
If I don't get it up there, this is going to be edited.
We'll tell you how it went later.
Oh, we'll definitely come back and
it was great. I just want you to know I had a good time.
We'll come back and tell you all about our road trip. But if you're some of the things before we leave out, we have a little bit of feedback again that I want to put forward. And we've kind of been talking about fan films. This isn't actually a fan film, but it's a short film. It's a Japanese subtitled short film for Library Wars. I haven't seen the full episode yet. I've been lazy, to be honest. But Nathan wrote us back and said that 13 minutes, didn't think it was so short. But he says, surely their censorship laws are not quite that dramatic, but I can appreciate the spirit and get the girl's subplot. It was fun. But Library Wars, if you remember, quite a few years back, we reviewed the manga for it. And it's basically we're in a Japanese society where censorship is rampant and libraries are the last bastion of freedom of speech. And they actually have troops, a military brigade that protects the libraries and the books.
So modern the United States?
Well, this is actually Japan.
No, I'm just talking about reality.
No, it's worse than that.
And then one other one that we just
like
got.
Yes, you do.
I'm not.
Our last episode for Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt was with well-known strangers. We did a review of their EP, and they came back, and Dennis Koch, he responded, says he shared it with a lot of people. So did John Kloss. John Kloss actually said, nicely done review. Thank you so much. And then on well-known strangers account themselves came back and says, quite an honor, love the comments and honesty, and so appreciate the review, and glad that they enjoyed the episode, and it was our pleasure doing it for them because we really enjoyed their music. If anybody else would like to get in touch with us, you can do so at admin@comicpoplibrary. Send us an email and we'll read it online. Get in touch with us through our Facebook account. Just look up Comic Pop Library and it'll bring you to our account. Comic Pop is one word, library is second, so it is actually two words. And I think that's going to do it for us. If you like Star Trek fan films, be sure to check out Starship Valiant on YouTube. And if you're so inclined, go to their GoFundMe and give them a donation. And that's going to do it for us. We had fun tonight. Hope everybody had fun out there. We will see you at the next showing.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.